So, have you ever like thought about what it would be like to start a tech company in a place where like the shadow of communism is still kind of hanging around?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question.
That's the world that entrepreneurs in Central and Eastern Europe are navigating right now. And today we're going to go on a deep dive into that world.
Awesome.
We're going to try to figure out if those CEE startups are really unique or if they're, kind of facing the same hurdles that any emerging market does.
Sounds like a plan.
Our starting point is going to be this academic article. Technology startups in Central and Eastern Europe, are they CE specific? And we've got a ton of other research and interviews, from founders, experts from Hungary, Poland, Romania, just to get a kind of a real world feel for things.
What I find so fascinating about this is you've got this incredible surge of innovation happening, right? But it's against a backdrop that most of the world has really moved on from.
Yeah, it's a very unique landscape.
It really is. And so the question is, like, how much of their reality is shaped by that legacy, and how much of it is like just the classic startup struggle, you know?
So let's unpack that context a little bit.
I
The research paints a picture of pretty low digital maturity among potential clients in these countries. It's kind of like, trying to sell the latest iPhone in a village that doesn't have electricity.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Finding those early adopters, the ones who can really, get the ball rolling, is a huge challenge for these startups.
It's funny you say that because that's actually a very common thread in emerging markets in general.
Is it?
Yeah. Take the mobile money revolution in Kenya, for example. Like, M-Pesa took off because it solved a real problem, right? For a population that was underserved by traditional banking, CEE startups often struggle to find that kind of aha moment, you know, that clicks with their local market.
So, not necessarily a CEE specific problem, but maybe amplified by the region's history, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's like an extra layer of complexity.
Right. Well, what about funding then? Because we know getting a startup off the ground takes, serious cash. Family and friends can only chip in so much, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And while you see some international VCs, you know, kind of starting to peek into the region, the total investment flowing into CEE startups is, well, it's still a fraction of what you see in more established ecosystems.
That could be tough then for those startups.
It is. It is. And the article actually gives a concrete example of that.
Oh, okay.
In 2022, like, the total VC investment in CEE was around 5 billion euros,
Okay.
compared to over 100 billion in the US.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a massive, massive gap.
That's huge. No wonder these founders feel like they're fighting an uphill battle
Oh,
then.
absolutely.
The research also mentions some pretty significant regulatory hurdles.
Yeah.
Like employee stock options, which are kind of like, standard for attracting top talent in Silicon Valley. Those are often not even an option in these countries.
Yeah, it's a real pain point.
Yeah.
And, you know, the specific regulations, they differ across the CEE countries, but this lack of a clear legal framework for stock options,
Yeah.
it just makes it so much harder to compete.
With companies in other markets that can, offer those incentives.
Exactly, yeah. And that's, I think, where you really see that legacy of the command economy playing out. Like, the legal systems are still catching up
Oh, okay. Interesting.
to the realities of this modern, fast-paced tech sector.
Yeah, it's fascinating how these historical shadows impact something as seemingly straightforward as hiring.
Right.
So, are we seeing kind of a pattern here? I mean, are these just the universal growing pains of startups, but with a CEE twist?
That's a good question. And, you know, the founders that were interviewed for this research, they definitely seem to think so.
Okay.
Their stories are like full of those familiar struggles, you know, finding product market fit, building brand reputation, scaling operations. It's a constant balancing act for them.
It's a lot to juggle for sure.
It is.
So the build it and they will come mentality doesn't really fly in this kind of environment.
Not really, no.
Yeah.
The research actually highlights this anecdote from a Romanian founder
Oh, okay.
who developed this brilliant, like, logistics platform. But he totally underestimated the effort that it would take to, like, actually acquire
Oh,
customers.
wow.
He was a total technical genius, but his sales and marketing skills needed some serious work, let's just say.
Yeah, a classic case of a brilliant mind needing to learn the business ropes.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of brings us to this really interesting concept from the research, this idea of, like, a Silicon Valley of the mind.
Silicon Valley of the mind. Yeah. I like that.
It's cool, right?
Yeah.
And this is where we really start to see like the incredible adaptability of CE entrepreneurs.
Okay.
They're devouring everything they can about Silicon Valley's like success stories.
Mm-hmm.
They're adopting their methodologies, you know, even mimicking their language. It's almost like they're creating this virtual Silicon Valley within their own minds.
It's like they're hacking the system in a way,
yeah.
Taking those best practices from elsewhere and applying them to their own like unique context.
Exactly. But it does raise a really interesting question.
That's
Does this come at a cost?
Oh, interesting.
You know, Are they sacrificing some of their own identity in this pursuit of global success?
Ooh, that's a good point. Like, are they losing something in the process?
Right. It's a tension that you see playing out in a lot of different ways. You know, some founders just fully embrace that Silicon Valley model,
mm-hmm.
while others are really trying to forge their own path.
Yeah. It's a delicate balance, for sure.
It is.
And speaking of global aspirations, the research dives into something called the liability of origin. Can you explain that a bit further?
Yeah. So liability of origin is basically the perception that companies from certain regions are just like less credible or trustworthy simply because of where they come from.
Really? Just based on their location?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a real prejudice that entrepreneurs from developing countries face, and CEE is no exception.
So are these founders essentially being penalized for their postcode?
In a sense, yeah.
That's tough.
And the research highlights this case study of a Hungarian startup.
Okay.
They developed this groundbreaking AI algorithm, but when they went to pitch to investors in London, they deliberately downplayed their Hungarian roots.
Wow, really?
They were worried that it would hurt their chances.
That's a pretty stark example of how this bias can play out. Mm. Makes you wonder though, like what strategies are these founders using to kind of overcome this perception problem?
Well, some choose to like relocate their headquarters to, you know, more established tech hubs like London or Berlin.
Makes sense.
Hoping to gain credibility, maybe get access to better resources. Others are actively working to like build their own brand reputation.
Trying to prove that innovation can come from anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like they're constantly fighting against these preconceived notions, you know, proving themselves at every step.
That's a tough road. But now we get to the heart of this deep dive.
Yeah.
You know, that lingering impact of the command economy. And this is where things get really interesting.
Yeah. This is where we move beyond like the generic startup struggles and really start to see how history shapes entrepreneurial behavior.
In really profound ways.
Yeah.
And we'll explore those fascinating insights in part two of this deep dive. Don't go anywhere.
So welcome back to our deep dive into the world of CE tech startups. We've been looking into some pretty intense stuff, you know, like
yeah.
the legacy of the command economy and that whole struggle for global recognition.
Yeah.
But the research also shows like a lot of really positive trends too, right? Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest takeaways for me is just the sheer like resilience and resourcefulness of these entrepreneurs.
Yeah, they've had to adapt, right?
They have. I mean, they've learned to operate in a system that, you know, isn't always set up for their success.
Right.
And they've found some really, really creative ways to get things done.
It's like they've taken all those, you know, contextual challenges that we talked about before, limited funding, the regulations, low digital maturity, and they've turned them into like fuel for innovation.
Yeah, exactly. It's that whole necessity is the mother of invention thing. Take, for example, like bootstrapping. A lot of CE startups have really mastered the art of building really lean, efficient operations.
Out of necessity a lot of the
time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're stretching every dollar,
yeah.
you know, figuring out ways to do more with less. And that actually gives them a kind of a competitive edge.
I was reading about this Polish startup that couldn't afford to do those like big, expensive marketing campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
So they built this incredibly engaged online community around their product.
Smart.
And it actually became their most powerful marketing tool, all thanks to that, you know, limited budget.
Yeah, that's a great example of how, you know, sometimes those constraints can really breed creativity.
Yeah.
We also see a lot of CEE founders leveraging international connections to kind of get around some of those regulatory hurdles that we were talking about earlier.
Oh, interesting. How so?
They're, you know, forming partnerships with companies in more established markets,
yeah.
tapping into like their expertise, their resources, things like that.
So it's not just about solo grit. It's about smart collaboration too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties back to that, that Silicon Valley, the mine concept that that we were discussing earlier.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're taking the best practices from around the world, but they're adapting them to their own context.
They're putting their own spin on things.
Exactly. And that's actually where their shared history might actually be an advantage for them.
You mean the command economy legacy? I'm curious to hear how that could be a positive thing.
Well, think about the values that were like instilled during that era. You know, that resourcefulness, a strong work ethic, that focus on technical excellence, those qualities are still really ingrained in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be really, really valuable in a startup environment.
So it's like those traits that were essential for like survival in a command economy have been like repurposed almost for success in the tech world.
Yeah, in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, they've learned to be scrappy, to find solutions where others see only problems.
Yeah.
And that gives them a real tenacity that, you know, you don't always find in more comfortable environments.
That's fascinating. It's so interesting how something that could be seen as a burden can also be a source of strength.
Right.
But we also can't ignore the downsides of that legacy, right? We talked about those low levels of social trust and the difficulty of, you know, building partnerships.
Yeah, those cultural patterns, those can definitely be an obstacle. But even there, we're seeing signs of change.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the research highlights a growing number of like startup incubators and accelerators that are popping up across the region.
Interesting.
And those are like, you know, spaces that are specifically designed to foster that collaboration, to like break down those walls of mistrust and to create a more supportive ecosystem.
So it's like they're actively trying to rewrite that part of their cultural narrative to create a new model for working together.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it.
That's really cool.
And it's not just happening within the CEE region either. They're, you know, building bridges to other ecosystems. They're participating in international conferences. They're attracting mentors from all over the world. You know, they're becoming part of that global conversation.
It's a really powerful reminder that culture isn't static, right?
Yeah.
It's constantly evolving, especially in a field as dynamic as tech. But what about attracting investment, though? We talked before about that funding gap between CEE and those more established markets. Is that starting to change at all?
There are some encouraging signs, yeah. International investors are starting to see the potential of the region. You know, they see the talent pool, the cost advantages, and that real hunger that these entrepreneurs have.
The research actually quotes a venture capitalist who describes CEE as the final frontier of European tech.
Yeah, exactly. They're seeing companies with innovative products, a really driven workforce, and a cost-effective operating environment. I mean, it's a pretty compelling combination.
Yeah, definitely. And let's not forget the cultural factors, too. We talked about the low levels of social trust as a potential challenge. But you know, every coin has two sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
That same individualism can also, you know, foster a really strong sense of personal responsibility and a willingness to, like, take ownership.
Oh, that's a really good point.
And in a startup environment where agility and self-reliance are so crucial, those traits can be super valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. It's about finding that right balance, you know,
yeah.
Harnessing those strengths while also acknowledging and, you know, addressing the weaknesses.
Right, right. And that's what's so exciting about all this. We're witnessing this region in transition.
Yeah.
These entrepreneurs are like actively shaping their own future, you know. They're rewriting the narrative about CEE tech.
They're proving that that innovation can bloom anywhere. Even in the shadows of history.
It's inspiring, really. They're not just building companies. They're building an ecosystem, a new identity for themselves and for their region.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's still a lot to learn from their journey, right? What can we, you know, glean from the successes and the failures of these CE pioneers?
That's what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive, so stick around.
All right, so welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into the world of CE tech startups. We've gone from like the shadow of the command economy to this fascinating, you know, Silicon Valley of the mind thing.
It's been a journey, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is where we bring it all home, right? Like, why should all this matter to you, our listener, even if you're like nowhere near Central or Eastern Europe?
Right, exactly. We've uncovered all these like intriguing insights, but... What's the takeaway? How can we apply these lessons to our own, you know, lives, our own work?
Well, I think first off, it's important to remember that The challenges that these CE startups are facing, they're actually surprisingly universal.
Oh, okay.
You know, the struggle to get funding, to navigate all those like complex regulations, finding and keeping good people, you know, talent. Those are hurdles that entrepreneurs are facing everywhere, you know, regardless of where they are in the world.
So it's like a masterclass in resilience and creative problem solving, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We can all learn something from their scrappy bootstrap, you know, mentality.
For sure. But I think there's also a deeper lesson here about the power of context.
Okay.
We've seen how the legacy of the command economy, it continues to shape that entrepreneurial landscape in CEE,
yeah,
you know, even decades after its collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a reminder that culture and history really do matter.
Yeah, that's a really great point. It's like those cultural patterns, those ways of thinking and interacting, they become part of the DNA of a region.
Yeah.
And it influences how people, you know, approach business, how they build relationships, how they perceive risk.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. and I think that has implications for how we understand entrepreneurship in any context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about having a great idea or a killer product.
Mm-hmm.
It's about understanding those cultural and historical forces that shape how we operate, you know,
mm-hmm.
how we make decisions, how we build trust.
So it's kind of a call for greater awareness then, right? To be more mindful of our own cultural biases, you know, our own kind of ingrained assumptions.
Exactly. I mean, we all carry, you know, baggage from our past,
yeah.
You know, our upbringing, our environment. And sometimes that baggage can hold us back.
Yeah.
It can limit our perspectives, prevent us from, you know, really connecting with people who see the world differently.
So what can we do about that then? How can we become more conscious of these influences and actually like use them to our advantage?
Well, I think it starts with curiosity.
Okay.
You know, with being willing to step outside of our comfort zones
mm-hmm.
and learn from people who have different experiences. You know, just like those CEE entrepreneurs are adapting to that global tech landscape, we can all benefit from, you know, expanding our horizons, embracing new ideas, new approaches.
And maybe even challenge some of our own preconceived notions along the way, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the world is becoming more and more interconnected. You know, and understanding those different cultural perspectives, it's more important than ever, whether you're an investor, an entrepreneur, or just someone who wants to, you know, thrive in a globalized world. This kind of cultural fluency, it's a superpower.
So let's circle back to that central question we posed at the very beginning then. Are CE startups truly unique?
I think the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah.
They're a product of a very specific history, you know,
oh, yeah.
a unique blend of cultural influences and this unyielding drive to succeed against the odds. They're defying expectations, rewriting that narrative about what's possible and proving that that innovation can really come from anywhere.
And that's what makes this whole deep dive so compelling. It's not just a story about tech. It's a story about human ingenuity, resilience, and the enduring power of culture to shape our destinies.
So here's a final thought for you, our listener, to ponder. As these CEE economies continue to evolve, will that unique blend of strengths and historical baggage become their ultimate competitive advantage? You know, will it propel them to the forefront of that global tech scene, or will those same factors, you know, end up holding them back?
What do you think? We'd love to hear your reflections on this fascinating topic. Until next time, keep diving deep.